your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another week of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Monday, April 6, 2020. Your boy Q here with you. As always, you can find me on Twitter, as many of you know, at your boy Q254. Always appreciate to hear from everyone by way of Twitter. And of course, you can always hit up that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Got to catch up on some of the calls and texts that we have here on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. So sometime this week, might go ahead and drop like two segments just of calls and texts and tweets, because got a lot of good stuff and I definitely want to get to them. But because I had an interview on Friday with Tommy Call 3, who I thought was really, really, really good, it kind of set things back. So going to try to catch up on as many calls and texts as possible. I'll have that coming up for you in segment number three of today's episode. Segment number two, going to get you updated on the Locked On Podcast Network, on the Locked On NFL Podcast Network, our mock draft that we have going on. Last time I talked to you about it, we were at number 20, I believe. Well, finally went ahead and finished that thing off, and it's going to start debuting on the Locked On NFL podcast. It's going to start doing that on the 10th, so on Friday of this week. It'll be Friday, will be the first episode, and then it'll be all of next week as well. So that's going to kick off, and that should be really good and really enjoyable for you to listen to. A lot of moving and shaking happened on that mock draft that we did, so go ahead and check that out starting on Friday. But I'll get you caught up on the rest of the first round and even a couple people or a couple teams from the second round who didn't have first round picks. I'll do that all in segment number two. Plus, again, continue to talk about that number 19 pick, because I think that number 19 pick is the real mystery of this draft. And I could be completely wrong. You know, something crazy could happen at 12 that I never saw coming. But I really, really think that the mystery comes at number 19 for the Raiders in this year's draft. So we'll talk about that in segment number two. And then here in segment number one, I'm going to give you the news and the notes of the day, as I always do. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And matter of fact, on Friday, I didn't even update you that Demarius Randall had been signed. He's a safety. He was actually signed late Thursday evening, a 1-year, $3.3 million deal. And it was just a case of, you know, I had already recorded the podcast and already put it out before that it happened. And it happened really late on a Thursday night, so I didn't get around to it. When I woke up on Friday morning and already had the podcast out, a couple episodes had already been tweeted out, it was there. You know, the news was there, and I thought, okay. And that kind of coincides with the fact that Eli Apple, the corner that was supposed to sign with the Raiders, didn't. And that was something that I talked about on, I believe, Thursday and Friday's episode, that, yeah, a good deal. Eli Apple is not going to be a member of the Raiders. And so I thought that Dre Kirkpatrick, the corner that had been released from the Cincinnati Bengals earlier in the week, would have been a guy that the Raiders went and made a move for. Instead, they went and signed Demarius Randall, the safety, to a 1-year, $3.3 million deal. And I know a lot of Raider fans got really, really excited about that signing, that was a really good one. And I'm not saying it's bad. He's still a somewhat young dude, 26, 27 years old. He had 4 interceptions in 2018 and 15 games for the Browns, but he had 0 interceptions in 2019 and 11 games. So it seems like he's starting to, you know, trend in the wrong direction a little bit, and that's obviously why the Browns made him available. Over the course of his career, he has 14 career interceptions in 65 games. He's been in the league since 2015. So he's not, like I said, he's not an older dude. He's a pretty good range. They only gave him a 1-year deal, but I don't think I'm as excited about this signing as a lot of Raider fans I saw on Twitter all throughout Friday and all throughout the weekend, just saying how nice of a signing that is. I think it's a good placeholder. I mean, I really do. I think it's a placeholder. He can hold that spot down until a young dude is ready to take that spot. I think what it does the most, and I can kind of talk about that in segment number two, is I just think it eliminates a safety at number 19 overall. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what that does. I still think that the Raiders come out of this draft with a safety, but they don't have a sense of urgency because they went and signed Demarius Randall, and he is a, you know, he's a veteran in the game. But again, I mean, He had 4 interceptions in 2018, played 15 games. Then all of a sudden in 2019, he only played in 11 games. And again, I don't care how good your talent is, how great your talent is, when health starts to become an issue, it just becomes an issue. And so, yeah, a little bit concerned about his availability. I'm not as fired up as a lot of Raider fans are about this signing, but it's not a bad signing. So, I mean, it's good. It's not a home run. It's not anything like that, but it's a good move for what it is. Again, I feel like he's a guy that can kind of hold that spot down and keep it warm and not make it a liability until some young dude is ready to go over and take that spot. And I do think that young guy will probably come out of the draft here coming up at the end of April. Also, another piece of news that dropped over the weekend, matter of fact, I think it was Friday night, is the fact that the Raiders donated $1 million to fight the COVID-19. Mark Davis and the Raiders donated $1 million to COVID-19 Response, Relief, and Recovery Task Force. The funds will purchase personal protective equipment, surgical and respirator masks, medical gloves, and medical gowns. The Nevada Task Force has already raised $10 million in their first week. And Mark Davis had a statement that he put out. The Las Vegas Raiders are proud to stand alongside the incredible community leaders that are doing everything that they can during this time of need. Health and safety is always our top priority, and we'd like to salute the governor and the entire task force for their tireless efforts in supporting health officials and healthcare workers throughout the Silver State. Las Vegas is our home, and together we shall forever be. Hashtag Vegas Strong. Again, that's a statement from Raiders owner Mark Davis. I saw some folks on Twitter get up in arms about this because, well, he's doing that for Vegas and he didn't do it for Oakland. And look, you can't do it for everybody. You know what I mean? I mean, the reality of it is the Raiders are the Las Vegas Raiders now. They are no longer the Oakland Raiders. Yes, they have their facility in Alameda still. Yes, they, that's where they would like to do the drafting from April 23rd through 25th for the NFL draft. That's where they'd like to make their calls from is their actual team facility right now, because the one in Henderson is not complete yet. But ultimately, they are the Las Vegas Raiders. So at some point, even though it's painful to say it, they're not the Oakland Raiders anymore. So for anyone to say, well, they should be doing this for Oakland, they should be helping out Oakland. Look, they've done a lot of good in the community in Oakland. They absolutely did before they left. Now they're gone. And they've been, you know what, they've been taking care of the community in Las Vegas even before they were officially the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, they started warming up their new home. And who's not going to do that? I mean, you can't really blame that. No matter how you feel about Mark Davis, you can't really blame him for taking care of home base. And home base for the Raiders is Las Vegas. And so I just like the fact that they did a gesture like that. A lot of teams throughout the league are already doing that. A lot of different players are doing that. There's a lot of folks doing all that kind of stuff. But I mean, you can't get mad at what city he's doing it for. Just be happy that him and the Raiders are part of the effort to try to make sure that everyone is good. So he's taking care of who he's got to take care of. No one in New Orleans is taking care of someone in another city. You know what I mean? I mean, they're taking care of New Orleans. You know, Drew Brees, he made a huge donation to New Orleans. Well, Mark Davis and the Raiders made a huge donation to where they're at right now, which is Las Vegas. So I had no problem with that. I know some people got up in arms about it, but at some point, man, just got to move on and realize that the Raiders are the Las Vegas Raiders from now moving forward until they're not, you know? And so we probably won't be around when they're not anymore. So that's just the harsh reality of it. Final piece of news and notes I have for segment number one is that the NFL teams, this is the latest from Adam Schefter, NFL teams are preparing to draft virtually from home. And it's crazy because, you know, there was a statement put out the other day that made it sound like the NFL teams could choose where they want to do this thing from. They can do it from their facility, or they could be more comfortable and do it at, you know, from their home. But the latest from Adam Schefter basically is putting it out there like, if one team in the league can't do it from their facility, then no team in their league is doing it in their facility. And this is actually a clip from SportsCenter on Saturday night. Is about 1 minute long. Adam Schefter explaining exactly what I'm talking about right here.
Steve, there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty even right now. And obviously we're facing much more significant issues in our country. But the fact of the matter is, in talking to multiple front offices, they don't know where they're going to be drafting. They don't know whether they're going to be doing it in their own homes, in a conference room of a closed down hotel, or in their training facility. Everybody would like to do it in their training facility, but the NFL has said that if one team can't do it in California or New York or Louisiana or wherever the pandemic is bad and there are federal guidelines and state mandates that they can't open the buildings, then every team will have to draft at an alternative location. It's created a lot of uncertainty, a lot of chaos, and teams are trying to figure out where they're going to be drafting when there are no answers, and we don't know when there are going to be answers, and yet the draft is now in less than 3 weeks. I had one general manager tell me that he was at his house today working, and the internet went out. He couldn't get his picks in. He couldn't communicate like that. Can you imagine That would happen if some team's on the clock and the GM's trying to get the pick in and he's got no internet. There's a problem with his service that night.
That would be wild, huh? Don't have an internet and they can't get the pick in. That would be something. I mean, I'm sure that there's something that they can do or something that they will do to make sure that that doesn't happen. But from the sounds of it right there, basically they're saying that if one team, say a California team, say the Raiders, who actually, like I just mentioned, their facility is still in Alameda, say that they can't get in their facility. That means the other 31 teams in the league, they're going to have to find somewhere else to do their draft from. New Orleans, the Saints already said that they're going to do it from a brewery that's owned by the team owner, you know, and so that sounds like that'll be off the table unless every team has to do it from some, you know, some remote location. So basically that's what they're trying to do, man. High-level officials, this is the exact statement, high-level officials from multiple NFL teams are now preparing to conduct the April 23rd through 25th draft virtually from home, away from their team facilities. That's what a league source told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Saturday. So that's just kind of interesting stuff right there, because again, my understanding a few days ago was that it was kind of like you pick where you are going to do your drafting from, and now it's like, okay, if one team cannot get into their facility, no team's going to get in their facility. Then everybody, one team has to do it from home, every team's going to do it from home. So that should really be interesting moving forward to see how things shake out. So that's what I got for you here in segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk about that Locked On NFL draft, that mock draft that we have going on. We'll talk about that, update that. We'll also talk about pick number 19 in the first round for the Raiders and how that continues to be a mystery pick for me. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, Monday, April 6, 2020. And yeah, got to update that Locked On NFL mock draft real quick, because now we are officially done. 20 through 32 has finally been done. As a matter of fact, a couple picks in round two for teams that didn't have them in round one. But just real quick, 21 through 32. 21 starts off with the Eagles. They go with Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver out of Arizona State. Tampa Bay at 22, Josh Jones, offensive lineman out of Houston. The Patriots at 23, Cesar Ruiz, offensive lineman out of Michigan. 24, the Saints, Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of Oklahoma. 25, the Vikings, Christian Fulton, defensive back out of LSU. The Dolphins, 26, Grant Delpit, safety out of LSU. 27, Seattle Seahawks, Yetur Gross-Matos, defensive end out of Penn State. 28, Baltimore Ravens, Patrick Queen, the linebacker out of LSU. 29, the Titans, they go with Jeff Gladney, defensive back out of TCU. 30, the Packers, Justin Jefferson, wide receiver out of LSU. And then the Broncos, Denzel Mims, wide receiver out of Baylor. And then 32, rounding out round one, Kansas City Chiefs, Jalen Johnson, defensive back out of Utah. And real quick, in round two, the Cowboys at 34 pick Trevon Diggs, defensive back out of Alabama. The Texans at 40 take T. Higgins, the wide receiver out of Clemson. 43, Chicago Bears, Xavier McKinney, safety out of Alabama. They did that with the Raiders pick, the second round pick for the Raiders. 49, the Pittsburgh Steelers, DeAndre Swift, the running back out of Georgia. 52, Los Angeles Rams go with Zach Bond, the edge out of Wisconsin. And then the Bills close things out, Jeremy Chinn, safety out of Southern Illinois. So I just ran through those really, really quickly just to give you the names that went from 21 through, well, 54 actually, because round two guys as well. But you can hear all the explanations and hear why these teams went with the guys that they went with starting on Friday, April 10th. Should be really, really fun, man. Probably going to do a handful of shows on Friday. Then obviously we'll get through the weekend. Then Monday through Friday, the next week, we'll have the rest of the team. So I had to get my guys in. I had to get my reasoning why I went with CeeDee Lamb at 12 and why I went with AJ Terrell at 19. I did that Sunday night, and so this thing could start airing and it should be really fun. If you were with us last year at this time, we did it and it went really, really well, and it was a lot of fun. So definitely make sure to check that out. It's going to be on the Locked On NFL podcast, not on this podcast, but on the Locked On NFL podcast. And we could obviously talk about it on this podcast. I've been talking about it the whole time, but just kind of want you to check it out on the Locked On NFL podcast and hear everybody's thoughts. And I think that you'll really enjoy it. Again, it's a lot of fun just hearing why these guys decided to go with the picks that they went with. And I mentioned that I went with AJ Terrell, the defensive back at 19 out of Clemson. And I'm telling you, man, I still believe that that is the ultimate mystery. When you get into this draft with the Raiders, I believe it's pretty obvious. Well, I feel like it's pretty obvious, at least right now. You know, April 6, 2020, it's pretty obvious what direction the Raiders are going to go at number 12, in my opinion. I think that that's a wide receiver, and I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know what I mean? I feel like they need to go get wide receiver number one. They've been addressing defense in free agency. They've been addressing other areas of the team that need some help. They went and got a backup quarterback to really push Derek Carr. They did that already in free agency. They've already addressed stuff that was obvious. You know what I mean? But now they have to go get that number one dude, that number one wide receiver that could really just take this John Gruden's offense from where it is right now and really blow the top off of it, really make it that much better. You got to have AB without having AB. You know, you can't have AB the headache and AB the talent at the same time because obviously that doesn't work. They tried to do that last year. Now they got to go get a guy. They got to go find a talent that is just as good as AB, or not just as good as AB, but just a guy who you can consider a number one wide receiver because AB is really sticking good. So I don't want to just say put that on him and say you got to be as good as AB, but you got to be a number one wide receiver, somebody that you know and every other team knows that that's their number one dude. Like right now, everyone knows that Darren Waller is the number one guy as far as receiving the ball, and Josh Jacobs is the guy that makes it go as far as running the ball. You need to have a guy. The Raiders have to have that number one dude where defensive coordinators have to prepare and say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take my best defensive back and put him on this guy. Whether it be CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, or Henry Ruggs, whatever it is, they need to go get that guy. And I believe it's really down to one of those three. I could be totally wrong. On April 23rd, they can go up to the podium or virtually send it in or whatever, and it could be something off the wall. It could be a quarterback for all I know. But, I mean, gut feeling tells me that it's a no-brainer that they're going to go wide receiver at number 12. But with that being said, 19 is up in the air. And I've talked about this before on the podcast, but the more and more I look at different mock drafts, the more and more I talk to people. You know, I talked to Tommy Call 3 on Friday, had him on the podcast, and, you know, he was talking about a safety. Well, a safety position's already been addressed. You know, it's already been addressed with Demarius Randall. So do you want to go get a safety in round one? I feel like that's the one position that's really been eliminated. Out of all the positions that have been eliminated for round one at pick number 19, I feel like safety is the one that's off the board. You know what I mean? And look, I know a lot of people hit me up after they heard what I picked when I picked AJ Terrell, the defensive back out of Clemson. And they said, Q, you should have traded back. That's easy to say, but you have to have a trade partner. I mean, that's what a lot of people don't realize. Like every single team, and I've been doing this on ESPN Central Texas as well. I've been talking to beat writers that cover every single team, and I've been asking them, hey, okay, now you're up at pick number like 7, for instance. We had Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic. She covers the Panthers like a glove. I asked her, okay, at number 7, who are the Panthers picking? She said, okay, they're going to trade back to number 12 with the Raiders. Okay, well, what if the Raiders don't want to trade up? You know what I mean? What if they don't want to move from 12 to 7? Then you can't just say that you're going to trade and you don't have a trade partner. So if you don't have a trade partner at number 19, that's where it gets sticky and that's where it gets hairy and that's where you have to decide what you're going to do. Again, going back to what has already been done with Demarius Randall, he's already in the fold. He's a safety on a one-year deal, $3.3 million, so he can start the season as a safety. So do you need to address that position at number 19? I think that's one position you could say, okay, that's probably going to be crossed off the list. And I know someone thinking right now, well, how about linebacker? You know, you said that you think Kenneth Murray is still an option for him at number 19. And I do. I still believe that that's still in the category. I still believe that that could be a position that they address. Now, maybe not. You know, maybe for the same reason that they're not going to go after safety, maybe they won't go after linebacker because they've already done that in free agency. I just feel like the linebacking position has been so ignored for so long that that's why it would be in play. And not to mention, Kenneth Murray is just a different dude. I think he's a football player that they really, really like. But again, I mean, if you think about it, if you're playing nickel 60% of the time, maybe you're not going to go linebacker. Maybe you're going to roll a safety up there to play that, you know, to play that linebacking role. Maybe you'll go get a guy like Xavier McKinney out of Alabama and have him enroll him up. Or maybe you're going to roll up Jonathan Abram, let him play in the box. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different things that you could do, so many different options. I just kind of feel like safety's off the board. I feel like there's a possibility that they go get one linebacker, not Patrick Queen, but Kenneth Murray. I feel like that's the one guy that they could go get at number 19, even though they've addressed it, and that's just because of everything I've said about his intangibles and how much they really like him and covet him. That's just my gut feeling. So that's the one linebacker that I can say they can get. Now, as far as corners go, they can go get AJ Terrell like I picked. They can go with Christian Fulton like many have picked. They can go with, who's another defensive back? Jeez, they can go with Jalen Johnson, cornerback out of Utah. He's climbing a lot of charts. Jeff Gladney, cornerback out of TCU. I know a lot of guys like him. A lot of people like him as well. I mean, there's a lot of corners out there. Trevon Diggs out of Alabama. There's a lot of corners that they can go get. I mentioned it way early in this draft process that they can go get Squirrely and go get another wide receiver. What if they go and get CeeDee Lamb and then double down and get Denzel Mims or a Justin Jefferson? or T. Higgins, or, you know, a wide receiver like that. I know people want to make sure that the defense is a lot better. I think the defense has already got a lot better, just what they've been able to do in free agency. I definitely believe they're going to still address the defensive side of the ball in the draft. But, I mean, they could double down. John Gruden couldn't say, hey, I gave you a lot of toys during free agency. Now you give me some toys during the draft. He very well could pull that card. And they could come out of the first round with two wide receivers. You know, and then again, 19 could be a good spot for a quarterback. And I'm not just talking Jalen Hurts. I'm talking about any quarterback that they feel like is their guy. You know, maybe they decide to pull the trigger on a quarterback of the future there at 19 and feel like that's just an extra pick. You know, and then there's other options. Like trading back is a great option if there's a trade partner. Is there someone who wants to move up? Do the Minnesota Vikings want to trade up and go get their wide receiver that they really, really covet? Maybe. You know, they're at what, 22 and 25? I mean, they have some options right there, but they could probably just stay pat at 22 and get a guy too, get a really good wide receiver. So, I mean, again, it sounds great to trade back, but when it comes to 19, man, yeah, like I said, I went with AJ Terrell. I felt pretty confident in that. I think he's a good selection for the Raiders, but I also could see him being picked at around 30. You know, if I was able to trade back, he probably would still have been available there at number 30. But again, you got to have a trade partner. So it might end up being one of those picks like Clelin Ferrell was in 2019, where they picked him at 4 and everyone kind of looked at each other and said, what in the world? Why would you pick him that high? Well, because there was nobody that was ready to trade up to number 4. You know, so they couldn't trade back to number 11 or number 12 or wherever you thought that Clelin Ferrell was going to go. So they went and got him. And a side note on Clelin Ferrell, I don't know if you've been seeing him, but there's videos of him out there really putting in a lot of work trying to get himself conditioned and get himself in the best shape of his life. I know he had mentioned at the end of the season or right after the season was over, when he comes back in 2020, you won't recognize him because he's going to be a whole different person, like a whole different body. He's going to really work his tail off all off season long. And from the videos that I've been seeing, that's exactly what it looks like. So Clelin Ferrell is putting in the work. You know, you might not be happy exactly with his production for 2019, but I think you'll be happy with the dude he is and the fact that he's committed to putting in as much work as possible to be the dude that he needs to be. So getting back to the draft and getting back to number 19, I really don't have, and this is one of the few times I don't have a good idea, a good feeling on exactly what they're going to do at 19. Last year, when I knew that they had 4, 24, and 28, I mean, I pretty much pegged it. You know, I pretty much pegged what they were going to do. You know, even though I didn't pick Clelin Ferrell, I thought that was a guy that they would like. I just didn't think that they'd get him at number 4. 24, I had spot on. I picked Josh Jacobs the whole time. That was my guy, and they went with him. And 28, I kind of felt like was a wild card. You know, just go ahead. You could do what you want to do with that pick, and that's what they did with Jonathan Abram. Thought that it was going to be a safety that they would have picked, and I actually thought Jonathan Abram was going to be off the board before number 28, but I believe in my mock draft last year I picked a safety. It wasn't Jonathan Abram. But yeah, I mean, I feel really confident about what they were doing last year. This year, going in at number 19, I really just am kind of you know what I mean? And obviously it's going to change a lot when we see how the board starts to shake out and how these teams start to fall and what teams trade up and what they decide to do. If guys trade up to go get quarterbacks or go get a wide receiver or whoever they want to go get, and then we'll probably have a better idea. But as of right now, like I said, man, April 6th, I really don't have a great gut feeling on what this team is going to do at number 19. And love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts on what you think they should do at 19, what they could do at 19, or what you'd want them to do at 19. 707-654-4693, Locked On Raiders Podcast voicemail line. I got calls, texts, and tweets coming up in segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders Podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders Podcast. Your calls, your texts, your tweets, straight off that Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. And also, if you tweet at me, at your boy Q254, again, at your boy Q254. The first call comes from Marcus out the town, the 510. He's calling in to talk about Colin Cowherd and his comments he made on John Gruden and strong arm quarterbacks. I have that in air quotes right now, the comments he was making the other day. And then he cautions about first round wide receivers. Here he is, Marcus out the town.
Hey, what's happening with a Q? Marcus out the town. Been a minute. Hey, man. So I'm loving everything you're doing, but bringing on Colin Cowherd was... Man, can I just roast him real quick? First of all, when he talks about, you are absolutely right, Q. When he talks about John Gruden loves strong arm quarterbacks, okay. Why'd he get Noodle Arm Mariota? His offense ain't predicated on a Bruce Arians offense where you going deep all the time. I don't know what this dude is. I don't, Colin Coward, whatever, however you pronounce his name, he's trash. He don't really know what he's talking about, bro. Like, was Rich Gannon, was he a strong arm quarterback? If you ever notice, Tim Brown was always used in that Michael Thomas role, that force-fed role where, you know, wasn't always going deep. And that's what the Raiders are missing. They're missing that Antonio Brown. But yeah, anyways, keep doing your thing too. I really don't like drafting wide receivers in the first round. They don't pan out. They don't get you Super Bowls. But at this point, they've got no choice. Y'all be easy.
Good call right there, my man Marcus out of town. It's been a while since you called. I appreciate hearing from you. And, yeah, man, it blew my mind when he said that about strong-arm quarterbacks. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. But what I find even funnier is how much he flip-flops. I think he's a good host at what he does. I think he's entertaining. I think he'll bring you back. He'll get the blood pumping a little bit. He'll Skip Bayless you a little bit, but won't be Skip Bayless. You know what I mean? He's not as bad as Skip, but he'll still kind of push the flames and kind of, you know, poke the bear a little bit. But, you know, it's like he flip-flops so much. One minute he's good with Gruden, then he's not good with Gruden, then the team looks good, then the team is trash. It's like one extreme to the other. And I'm sorry, man, I as a guy in the media who talks on the radio for a living, I might change my mind here and there, and I've done it on the podcast before, and I'll come out and say, hey, you know what? I was wrong about that dude. Or you know what? I'm starting to feel some other way about that guy. But I'll give you the reason why, and I'll stay consistent. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't operate where one day I'm pro this dude, and then all of a sudden I hate this dude, and then I'm pro this dude. You know what I mean? I just can't do that. So, I mean, it is what it is. And look, that dude has already, you know, he's made his own path. He's already very, very successful. He don't have to worry about nothing. He ain't worry about what I'm talking about or anybody else. So, I mean, that's just kind of how those cats roll. As far as the history behind number one wide receivers and first round wide receivers, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, Mike Mayock talked about that at the combine, and it's funny enough, actually, Amari Cooper's been the best one in a really, really long time. And he was the Raiders guy, you know, and then they moved on from him and sent him to Dallas. But, yeah, I mean, really, as far as first-round wide receivers, Coop's been the best one in a really long time, and that's telling you a lot right there. So I still think this year you're going to get a big-time player. The Raiders are going to get a big-time player, and I think that they don't have to worry about, you know, that first-round struggle or that first-round jinx, because these guys, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and Henry Ruggs, I think they're in a class all by themselves. But, again, that's just me, but it's a great call, and I definitely appreciate hearing from you, my man. Next up, I got a text message. Hey, Q, my name is Stuart. I probably got the weirdest name you have ever heard. I live in El Paso, and my last name is Padaso. Padaso, P-A-D-A-S-O. I think it's Padaso. Wife, is it Padaso? P-A-D-A-S-O. All right, the wife don't know. Okay, Padaso it is. Anyway, seems to get some laughs. So Stuart Padaso is who's texting in right now. Anyways, first time reaching out. That means you're a new booty. I wanted to text you a few days back, actually on Wednesday, and never got the chance. Just want to say I so appreciate you. You're doing a great job, so keep it up. Listen to you every day on my drive. That's pretty much it. Go Raiders. All the best from Stu Padaso. I think it's Padaso, and the wife don't know, so I'm on my own on this one. So I definitely appreciate that, Stu. Appreciate the text. Keep it down in El Paso. El Paso is like my adopted city now, just for the record. Not only do we have family that's there in El Paso, but ever since Little Q took an official visit to El Paso, to UTEP, I kind of adopted it as my other college that I pay attention to, really root on the minors and want them to play really, really well. It's unfortunate that they didn't get a chance to get into the NCAA tournament, but yeah, El Paso is my adopted city, so hold it down in El Paso. Definitely appreciate you tuning into the show. Next up, Nico in North Jersey. He's calling in to talk about the 19th pick in round one and how the acquisitions of linebacker Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski have changed the options at 19. He has a good idea what the Raiders should do and why. Here's Nico in North Jersey.
Yo, Q, Raider Nation, it's your boy Nico from North Jersey. Q, I just got done listening to your Thursday podcast talking about what to do at the 19th pick. And you played right into what I've been trying to say ever since we got Kwiatkowski and Littleton. The best value at 19 is to trade back. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The best value, to get the best value of the 19th pick, is to trade back into the second round. If you can get into the late first and the second by giving up 19 and a third, that would be icing on the cake. But look at all these names. If these names are available at 19, I'm just going to read them off. We got Kenneth Murray and Patty Queen for the linebackers. We got C.J. Henderson, Christian Fulton, A.J. Terrell, Diggs, Gladney for the cornerback. We got Xavier McKinney, Grant Delpit, and Antoine Winfield Jr. That is like 10 names if you got the majority of those names left at 19, which I think you will, if you trade back, you could get one of those guys and pick up another pick in the second round. There's no need reaching for one, and you might not think it's a reach, but there's no need with all those needs right there, and secondary is our biggest need right now. That's 8 defensive backs, 3 safeties, and 5 cornerbacks that I gave you just then, and 2 linebackers if you want to go that route. So unless there's a slam dunk at 19, and I can't even think of a slam dunk right now at 19. Maybe if Ruggs falls to 19 and we already got CeeDee Lamb or Judy and we just want to double up, but I don't think that's going to happen. And just like number 12, I think number 12 is very simple. You get CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Judy unless a slam dunk is there. And the only 2 slam dunks that will be there are going to be Jeffrey Okuda and Isaiah Simmons. If one of them are there at 12, you scoop them, and then you hope one of the receivers falls to 19, which I think will. So I think it's pretty simple, man. You trade back, and I think that's why having Mayock's going to be huge, because Mayock's going to see that. He's going to see the team needs after us and who he thinks will be at what position at the late first, early second. And I really do think we're going to trade back. And that's going to be huge because instead of picking up one of those 10 guys, I think we can get 2. I really do. So, guys, 19, this is, again, Nico from North Jersey. I've been saying this ever since we got our linebacker figured out because 19 was going to be Murray or Queen if we didn't figure out our linebacker position. But now that we did, and Murray and Queen aren't as much of a need, and it's more of a luxury now, I really do think we got to trade back. Get into the second. Get a late first if we can. We have 3 third-round picks. Maybe throw one of them in the deal. So then we got, you know, still got 2 firsts. Get a second, and then 2 thirds we still have. So I think that's the best value, Q. I really do. But you freezing up at 19 in your mock draft there, that gave me perfect ammo because, listen, if you're freezing up right now, that means there's too many guys that we can get. So trade back, right?
I think you're right, Nico. I really do. I mean, honestly, I really, really do. You bring up a lot of great points, and I had a couple other folks tell me that, Q, you probably should have just traded back. Even though the pick of A.J. Terrell at 19 was a good pick, I don't think anyone really had a problem with the pick, but a lot of folks were thinking if you had traded back to number 30, you could have got better value where you get him there and you still, you know, you get a second round pick, you get a little bit more in return, and that's probably the right answer. You're probably right, but, you know, Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski really changed the game with those acquisitions. Obviously, linebacker's not the biggest need anymore. I still think at some point that they're going to address the linebacker position, and really, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they still don't go and get Kenneth Murray at some point because they really, really like him that much, but I totally understand where you're coming from. Really good call, Nico, and it's good to hear from you. I appreciate you. Next up, I got a text from Dan in NorCal. He's a new booty. Put that in parentheses. So he's a new booty. Anyway, he says, hey, Q, Stan from NorCal. What do you think about Nick O'Leary, what he brings to the Raiders as the 4th tight end on the roster? Last year, he played in 12 games, had 13 receptions for 109 yards, and only 1 touchdown. Thank you again, Dan from NorCal. Dan, appreciate the text. And I remember when they signed Nick O'Leary, and one, I think he's going to be competition. Once, I think he'll be a guy that they bring into camp and see what he can do. Obviously, he's going to be a blocking back. He's not going to be the guy that they're going to throw the ball to a lot of times, but he'll be one of those tight ends that's on the offensive line. Almost serves as an extra offensive lineman. You know, he'll be out there blocking. Maybe they'll put him in as a fullback at times, you know, H-back. I mean, there's multiple things that John Gruden could do with him. You know, he loves fullbacks. He loves tight ends. I mean, that's what we all know about John Gruden, that he loves tight ends and fullbacks. And so I could definitely see him having a role, having a small role, but mainly it's going to be blocking. I mean, if I boil it down to one word, what Nick O'Leary brings to the table is blocking. Again, like you mentioned, he played in 12 games. He had 13 catches for 109 yards and 1 touchdown. So he's going to be a dude, if used at all, if he makes the final 53-man roster, he'll be a guy used for the blocking. Next call, Raider Loke in the 626. He's calling in to comment on my mock draft I put together for the Locked On NFL Network, what he's thinking about at 12 and 19, and gives a good explanation as why he made those picks. Here he is, Raider Loke in the 626.
Yo, Q, Raider Nation. How's everything? This is Raider Luck from the 626 calling you after listening to Thursday's podcast. And I've been a little absent these past few days, these past few weeks. And it's really just because I've been working from home, staying busy along with, supporting the wife, being there for her physically and mentally right now. She's frontline. She's a registered nurse. She's already been taking care of COVID patients. So just trying to be there for her. But, listening to your mock draft, I picked number 19, A.J. Terrell, and then pick number 12, CeeDee Lamb. Great picks, but if it were up to me, you know, I'd still go with Kenneth Murray at number 19, the linebacker that, you know, I feel like fits the mold, the Gruden and Mayock mold, you know, just because, and something that I've been thinking about you know, both Kwiatkowski and Littleton are both 26 years old, so it's something to think about, you know, as far as depth. I know we play the same position most of the time, and we only mainly use two linebackers 60-70% of the time, but what if we just, you know, keep Jeff Murray 19 and just, you know, he's the alpha dog, you know, he'll be there, he'll learn from those two and along with the others, and, you know, when the time comes when their contract though for both Littleton and Kwiatkowski, maybe one can go, and maybe, you know, Murray can fill in that role. You know, it's kind of like what you said about the Ravens general manager, where he just kept drafting guys that keep that ball going rather than just, you know, paying guys, you know, if they want to leave and get paid, you know, we'll let them go because we got the next man up. But something that I wanted to ask, you know, I know we don't got a second round pick, but let's just play that what if game. You know, what if we never traded that second round pick to Chicago and still had it right now? And let's say, for example, we don't pick AJ Terrell, number 19. If it were up to you, I know you're big on Jalen Hurts, and I know AJ Terrell, we could beat him with Mullins and got the Clemson DBs, but if we were to fall in the second round and if both Jalen Hurts and AJ Terrell are available, I mean, I'm pretty sure you'd go with Jalen Hurts, but what would be the smart decision? Just, since you picked AJ Terrell, number 19, just thought I'd bring that up in the first round. So I hope you and your family stay safe, Q, along with all of Raider Nation. You know, this is something that everyone needs to start taking seriously, you know, and, you know, just so this could be all resolved and it could go away, because this is definitely not out of the norm. All right, Q, stay safe. Raider Loke out.
Raider Loke, good call, my man, good call. And first of all, salute to your wife as she is on the front line helping out as many people as she can, and salute to you as you're supporting her as she's on the front line helping out as many people as she can. I mean, that's major, and at these times, we really, really need that. So definitely salute to both of you. As far as the draft and 19 goes, you would still go with Murray at 19? Okay. That's a direction that I've mentioned a couple times that the Raiders could absolutely do. I could definitely see that, and I would not be shocked, especially after last year, kind of get a better idea of what Mayock and Gruden may be thinking together. I could absolutely see that for all the reasons you said, plus he's just a football player, an alpha dog type guy that Gruden and Mayock, I believe, would love to have on the roster. Now, the question that you threw out there, if Jalen Hurts and AJ Terrell were there in the second round and the Raiders are up, I think I would go Terrell, I think, and then keep my fingers crossed and hope that Hurts is there when the Raiders are up again, or if they trade up and go get him. But then again, I kind of pose you a question. It also depends on what the Raiders did at 19. You know what I mean? If they went and grabbed the corner at 19, then there's no doubt about it, I'm going to go with Jalen. And it's not even close. If they grabbed a safety or something else, I might have to say, well, I think the Raiders still need a defensive back to pair up with Mullen and hope for the best with Jalen. But again, if it's me and I'm on the clock, and it's just, I mean, when you're on the clock, man, all of a sudden you start sweating. I started sweating the other day, and I almost pulled Jalen Hurts in the first round. So, you know, I say that I would go and get a defensive back because that's what the team needs the most probably. But like you said, I probably would pull the trigger on Jalen. But again, because early in the season last year I said that they should go and get him in the third round, I'm going to go stick with that theory. But I really, really doubt if he's going to be there in round number 3. So thank you so much for that call. And again, salute to you and your wife for doing all that you're doing in a major, major time of need. Final text of the show, final text of the day. What up, Q? This is Charlie from the Dub V. Seems like every season when it comes to the draft, a certain player falls to us that I'm certain we're going to draft. And then when the time comes, we draft someone completely different. It happened with Derwin James, and it certainly happened last year when we were all shocked with our pick at number 4. Pick a player that we could possibly pick at number 12 that would once again shock everyone. My pick that I truly hope we don't pick is quarterback or offensive tackle. I have a bad feeling that if a wide receiver run were to happen before we pick and a stud offensive tackle fell, that we could pick them even with having Miller and Brown. Let me know what you think. Thanks for all that you do. Peace out, Raider Nation. Charlie from the Dub V. I understand where you're coming from. I was in Arlington when they decided to pass on Derwin James, and I was shocked. They went with Colton Miller. You know, that was just an absolute shock to me. I couldn't believe it. I was making fun of other teams around me, other fans of teams that were around me, because I thought, there's no way that the Raiders are going to pass on Derwin James. And they did. And obviously, left tackle was a major, major need. But still, fans are going to think that they want the sexy pick, which is Derwin James. Clee Ferrell, that was a shock last year. But really, I mean, my guy that I wanted the Raiders to get was Quinnen Williams. And Quinnen Williams went one pick ahead to the Jets. So I really didn't know. I thought maybe Ed Oliver, maybe Josh Allen. I wasn't too sure who they were going to go with. So Clee Ferrell, even though he shocked me, it wasn't like I was disappointed. I just thought, Okay. Well, I thought that's a little high for him, but okay, whatever. So I can totally understand what you're talking about, man, and I'm sure that there'll be a guy that all Raider Nation sees getting close to number 12 thinking, oh, man, the Raiders are going to have an opportunity to get a guy they didn't even think was going to be there. Maybe it's Isaiah Simmons. Maybe it's Jeffrey Okuda. I doubt it, but maybe it is, and maybe for some reason that they pass by. I don't think they'll go offensive tackle early. I do think there's a chance that they go quarterback or wide receiver at number 12. I really could see them going quarterback or wide receiver with my gut telling me it's going to be wide receiver. But to your point, you never really know. And 19, oh man, all bets are off. They can go quarterback, cornerback, safety, wide receiver. I mean, there's a lot of things they could do. They might go with a defensive lineman at that point. They might go with, you know, a linebacker at that point. They might go with, you know, the offensive tackle that you're talking about. Who knows? At 19, I think all bets are off. But at 12, I think it's pretty close to set in stone, which it's not, but it's close. As close as it could be that they're going to go with a wide receiver. But then again, I'm sitting here in my house, and these guys are sitting in the facility, and they're working on a master plan. So, yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from. So we'll see in some short days, man. It's not that far away now. You know, less than 22 days, and we'll be talking about the first round of the NFL draft and what the Raiders did. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the text. And that's going to do it for today's episode.